I want you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're starting a new series tonight, and we're entitling it Renew, and it's really all about our new life in Christ. Pastor Nick and I are going to be kind of tag teaming, so next week Pastor Nick's going to be picking up the message, and then I'll be closing it out the week after that. So a short little three-week series on our new life in Christ. Now, when you read the scriptures, oftentimes you'll come across things that talk about the old man or the old way of life, and this is going to be the topic that we're addressing. And tonight I'd like to bring you a talk that's simply entitled Vintage Makeover. Vintage Makeover. And it comes out of Ephesians chapter 4. And beginning in verse 17. On the screen behind me is the New International Version, the NIV, but I am reading out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. So you guys are smart enough to kind of understand the differences there, and it also enhances our Bible study as we kind of compare those two translations. Verse 17, it says this, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of their heart. They have become calloused and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you learned Christ." I mean, he's essentially saying, what are you doing? That's not how you learned, Ephesian Christians. That's not how you learned about Christ. So he says, but that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. And you were taught what? Verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, or way of life, maybe. I'm not sure what that says. Your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now, when you read most of Paul's letters, the spirit of your minds, mind and spirit can almost be used interchangeably, and he's talking about the mind in that place, and really your spirit. So the spirit of your minds, and to, verse 24, to put on the new self, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I just want to go back up to verse 22 and highlight a few things. He says, you were taught to do this, to put off your old self. And then in verse 24, it says, and to put on the new self. To put on the new self. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us from your word tonight. Lord, there has been, by the grace of Jesus Christ, the potential for each and every one of us to experience the revolutionary act of grace and transformation in our lives. Literally, to be made new, a new creation. Not some old remade version of our old self, but a brand new creation by the finished work on the cross and the resurrection power of Jesus. Lord, we just stand in awe that as the body of Christ, we stand before each other and we stand before God, and we're justified. Lord, we are, the penalty and the power of sin has been broken. And may we come to know and to understand and to be maybe better stewards, more responsible, to understand what this new life is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I like nice clothes, but I would not call myself like into fashion. However, my wife, on the other hand, is amazing at this. And I think there's just something about girls that just, they understand fashion a little bit, just a little bit better than guys. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit better. I mean, my 8-year-old already gets this, you know, and Chloe's about to turn 5. She still knows what it means to be a princess. And, you know, they just kind of get it. But guys, we don't really, I don't think we really understand. I'll give you a case in point. When Daisy goes into a shop, she'll go immediately for the clearance rack. Now, where are all the clearance shoppers? You know what I'm talking about. You know where you are. Okay, there you are. Good. You just make a beeline for that thing, and you can make anything on that clearance rack work for you. But for me, when I look at the clearance rack, I just see, like, I don't want last year's model. What is that? You know, no, I want the new stuff. And another thing that I've experienced in my life, I don't know if you were around, most of you were around, but you probably didn't stoop to this level of fashion genius like I did. There was a shirt company that made a particular kind of shirt called Hypercolor. Now, do you ever remember, does anyone remember Hypercolor? Hypercolor was a shirt that, if you didn't know, I think it was dyed with two different kinds of dye. There was a base dye, and then there was another dye that they dyed the shirt with that reacted to heat. As if I wanted everyone to know that I experience back sweat when I get hot, you know? Like, I want people to understand that I look like one side of an egg got fried too long or something, you know? It's like, hey, what's going on? And they're all laughing at you, or someone puts their hand on you and they take off and you have a handprint on your, I mean, who was the genius that came up with this? That's dumb. You know, that's why it went out of style. My mom, funny enough, bought me sunglasses last year that did the same thing. Anyway, so fashion and guys, sometimes we don't really work it out. But this, in the scriptures, this is sort of a different kind of fashion, obviously, what we're talking about. Because Paul here in the book of Ephesians is talking about the difference between the old man and the new man. Now, we're kind of, I know the Emmys were like a few weeks ago, and I remember watching that with Daisy, and we kind of like watching the red carpet scene, you know, everyone's kind of walking on the red carpet. And Ryan Seacrest would always ask every celebrity a few questions. Who are you wearing, and how are you wearing them? Who are you wearing, and how are you wearing them? And those are the two questions we're going to look at in the text tonight. First of all, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? Look at it in verse 17. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds." And that just simply means that their minds and their thoughts literally have no aim, no purpose or direction. And of course, the assumed here is that it has no godly direction. It has no godly aim, no godly purpose. Their thinking is literally futile. And think about it. At the end of this, he says that we must be recreated in the spirit of your minds. So this is all kind of tying together here. But verse 18, it says, "They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greeting to practice every kind of impurity." So the first of all, who are you wearing? And we really see two different designers, if you would, in this passage. The first designer is what I'll just call the vintage designer. Vintage clothing, old clothing. So this first picture we get is the one who is wearing and acting like the old man. And that is the person who, in this passage, they call Gentiles. Now, in this passage, we have to understand that this book was written to the Christians in Ephesus. Ephesus, the dominant religion in Ephesus at the time was a cult to Artemis. I mean, it was a very wealthy city. If you remember back when we went through the seven churches in the book of Revelation, we talked a lot about each city. Ephesus is actually the first city. It's a very strong church there. Jesus criticized them in Revelation chapter 2 for being a busy church and they've lost their first love. So we understand that there was a strong group of Christians here in Ephesus. But the predominant religion there, of course, was this cult of Artemis, and there was all kinds of sensuality going and ungodliness that was going on there. And that is typically defined by that in the realm of the Gentile kind of attitude and behavior and things like that. So he's not necessarily talking about Gentiles as in a class of people like they cannot be saved. He's saying in a kind of a behavior kind of manner. So he said, these Gentiles Gentiles, they're basically, they're acting in two different ways. First of all, they are ignorant. Ignorant. Now look at it, what it says here. It says, they are darkened in their understanding. Darkened in their understanding. This is like the word picture. If we took the house lights in here and all of the lights, and you have your Bible open in front of you, and we begin slowly dimming the lights, it becomes more difficult and difficult for you to see the words on the page. In other words, there are some people here in Ephesus, and of course now we know today, there are some people that are literally ignorant of the destruction that their life actions are causing them. They have no idea that the way they're living their life is tearing their life apart. This is the first sort of attribute of the old man, that they're just ignorant. They do not know. They are darkened in their understanding. They have never been illuminated to the fact that the way they're living their life is wrong. But there's a second kind of characteristic of this vintage kind of lifestyle. It's not ignorant, but it's insulated. And this is fascinating. Insulated. Look at this. They have been alienated from the life of God. That's a scary statement. Alienated from the life of God. And why? Why has this happened? Alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. And he goes on to explain what this hardness is in verse 19. They have become callous. Now, obviously, callous, this is a medical kind of terminology. I know I started playing guitar when I was 15 years old. And immediately, raise your hand if you've ever picked up a guitar, you are a guitar player. Not piano, but like guitar. And I guess any stringed instrument would count. Okay. Now, one of the first things that beginner guitar players experience, after a few weeks, they're like, I think I want to play guitar. And then after a few weeks, you see people walking around in this kind of posture. And you're like, hey, what's wrong with you? Nothing, I'm doing fine. Are you sure you're doing okay? And let me see your fingers. And they'll turn their fingers up, and the pads of their fingers, their fingertips, are just a bloody mess because they have literally worn blisters on the tips of their fingers. And why has that happened? It's because calluses have not yet developed. Now, I don't lift weights, obviously, you can tell, but I've seen videos of it. I do know that weightlifters, I'm just kidding, whatever. I do know that weightlifters, when they lift weights a lot of times, you will get calluses right here from grabbing a barbell time and time again, and there's a lot of pressure. And sometimes blisters develop, but over time, if you ignore the pain long enough, you will develop a callus. Now, this is a medical term that Paul uses, but of course he has what I call biblical theology in mind, because we see throughout the scriptures time and time again that either God or someone has a hardened heart. Their heart is calloused. Now, this happens spiritually when people constantly ignore, it has a cumulative effect. Constantly ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their life. They develop a hardened heart due to the callousness. This is not a one-time thing. Now, I know sometimes people are like, how did you get that way? I don't really understand and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, it's the callousness. It's the hardening. Now, I want you to see something, because it's not just the callousness, because they have become callous and have given themselves up. Look at that interesting word, and have given themselves. I mean, the subject of this sentence is they, it's them. They have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. They can't get enough. They can't get enough. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So you have the ignorant and you have the insulated. And you become insulated by constantly rejecting and sometimes ignoring the pain of the conviction of the Spirit. Because sometimes, let's just be honest, it is painful to hear the Spirit convict us. It's painful. and you ignore it long enough, and a hardening will develop. That can develop some hardness. I appreciate it. That's right. Hey, if you have any questions or anything, feel free to talk to me afterwards. Is that okay? Thank you, brother. So we're just moving on here because you see the vintage designer, but then you also see the modern designer. And I want you to see this. It begins in verse 20 because there's a different kind of person that Paul is getting at here. In verse 20, it says this, "But that is not the way you learn Christ." He's saying, hey, listen, that's not how you learned about Christ. And how did he learn about Christ? "Assuming," he says, "that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self." Now, I want you to get this picture, and I wore my coat tonight to kind of demonstrate this a little bit, because this is as if when you put off your old self, it is as if you take off your old man and you cast it aside. And you turn away from it and you are literally embracing a new life and a transformed life. So he's simply saying, what are you doing? Put off the old self. It's just like the coat. And I want to give you one of the other kind of text in this. This doesn't have anything to do necessarily with Ephesians, but I want to give you a supplement kind of text here. And if you have, it's going to be on the screen, but if you have in your Bibles, you can turn over to Romans chapter 5. And verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I've been going through the book of Romans in my personal devotions, and some of these verses are just kind of popping out at you. They're popping out at me. And I'm going to make them pop out to you now. So I just, okay, anyway. Verse 17. It says this. "If because of one man's trespass," this is the first man, this is Adam. And now Paul is talking to the Romans here, and he's going to now talk about the last Adam. This is Jesus. "If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Let me read it one more time. "If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man." Now, I want you to look at the word reigned. Now, notice the tense. Now, let's keep reading. "Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." When you are born again, a new person, I want you to see something here, that in our old man, death reigned. Death reigned in this life. Now, I understand that this is powerful, because when it reigned, that is past tense. And what I want you to see is in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says this, "Since we have been justified by faith," see, this doesn't happen. Some people use this verse, some people we call like in the openness theology or universalism, that everyone's saved and all this kind of thing. No, this comes by faith in Christ. And when you accept the justification of Christ by faith, you are a new creation. And one of the privileges of this is death no longer reigns in this life for us. But instead, it's life that we have. The grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life. This is why, for those of us who are Christians, death does not have the final say. And I want to tell you, if you have ever lost a loved one, if you've ever lost a friend and they were a Christian, death does not have the final say. Death has lost its sting because of faith in Christ. We don't grieve like those without hope. We have we have something unique. When we are in our new man, death no longer reigns in this life. It is past tense. But through faith in Christ, the new man will reign and will be have eternal life with Christ. Amen? Back to Ephesians now. So there's that modern designer. This is the new man. This is the one that we put our trust in. So we put off the old self like the coat, and then we have this new life. And we see that all throughout the scriptures. And Romans 5:17 is just a part of it. But what I want you to see is that there is an absolute revolution of the spirit. There is a new creation that's birthed in you. And part of my heart in doing this series is that sometimes I feel like we sell our Christian life short. And I'm really confused on why I do that sometimes. It's just painful to say, maybe I just forget. Maybe it just becomes old hat. Like, why does that get old? Because if we realize the potential that, I mean, we are literally walking, the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Think about this. When you are walking every single day out in the streets or wherever, in your workplace or whatever, you have the Spirit of God literally with you. I'm like, Lord, help us. So as we explore some of the reasons why that is, I want to move on to the second question. First of all, who are you wearing? Because you're either wearing the vintage designer or the modern designer. But if we're wearing the modern designer, that is the new man in Christ. And the second question is this. How are you wearing it? How are you wearing the new Christ? So the new life. If you've put on this new life, how are you wearing it? Because I've been around the block enough to know that we as Christians, and I say we because I'm as guilty of it as anyone, we don't always live this new life the way that the scriptures are commanding us to. I mean, in Galatians it says, if you're going to live by the Spirit, then keep up with this. Keep in step with the Spirit. Well, this is interesting because the other day I was thinking about how one way to illustrate this, and this is just a pet peeve of mine, and I have no idea why. Maybe it's just being a youth pastor for too long, but I noticed when I first started as a youth pastor on retreats, retreat would start like Friday, and then we'd have a service like Saturday morning, just a little worship and word, and I'd noticed the longer I was in youth ministry, the more, I guess it was commonplace for people to wear pajamas out in public. I mean, believe it or not, there was a time when you only wore pajamas at night. Believe it or not. But I slowly started seeing, as the years kind of crept by, like people just like show up and they're wearing pajamas all day. And I don't know why. It just like really, I had to like try not to say anything because I'm like, okay, I mean, it's a little awkward. Why don't you like put some jeans on or something, you know? It's wearing pajamas all day. But you know what? Sometimes it's just easier to wear pajamas, isn't it? By the way, if you're wearing pajamas here tonight, I don't see you, so this is not a slam to you. So embrace it. Run with it. Whatever you want to do. So just use it as an illustration. But I found that, you know, sometimes I don't like getting dressed up for anything. Some of you may not think I get dressed up for anything, but anyway, sometimes if I'm feeling bad or I got a cold or something like that, I have nothing to do that day, I really don't get dressed up. There's really nothing to prepare for or whatever. But I started realizing in my own life that if there was nothing compelling that day, that I might not dress up for it. But I tell you what, if you're going in for a job interview, you're not going to wear pajamas to that job interview because there's something that you're trying to get across in that. And I started thinking, I wonder if this is maybe sometimes how we, why we slack in the way that we wear, if you would, if we can use that terminology, our new life. Because I've seen so many people do things like, sometimes I see them do things like this with their new life. They kind of pop the collar and do what I call pimp Jesus. That's right. They pimp Jesus. And we pimp Jesus every time we ask Jesus to accommodate our behavior. Let that sink in for a moment. Like, Lord, if you just do this for me, then I'll live this way. You know, just some real simple examples. Lord, I know I didn't study for that test, but please, Lord, if you have grace at all, please come through for me. What? It's like, I think Paul would say, What are you thinking, man? That's not how you were taught. And we do that. You know, I've seen girls before, you know, girls who were, you know, single before, like, talk to them like, Lord, I need a man. I want a man. I'm not desperate, but I would like a husband. He doesn't have to be anything but a Christian. And I'd ask, really? And have you ever made a list? And they pull out a list that's 30 pages long of everything that this person has to have. And I'm like, really, just a Christian or the 30 list? I mean, what 30 bullet list? But here's the sad thing is none of that is what I'm talking about. Sometimes we ask for kind of silly things, and God comes through, and the last person we thank is Him. And sometimes we're just asking God to accommodate our behavior. But if you're into fashion, you know that the designer is everything. And when it comes to pimping Jesus, we have to realize that we don't design Jesus, He designs us. We don't ask Jesus to accommodate our behavior. We ask Him to modify the internal self. God, transform me, and may that behavior be an expression of that inner transformation. And we don't ask Him to accommodate, but that's not the only thing we do. I mean, I've seen some people, they do that stuff, and of course, I've seen some people do this, though. They don't, maybe they're not into doing that, but they're into things like, I call this recycle Jesus. Because what they like to do is they basically just like to feed off of other Christians. They have a spouse that is just like uber Christian. They are super committed. They do their devotions every day. But they don't feel the need themselves to seek God because they're just recycling other people's faith. Man, as long as I make it to church a couple of times a week, I'm just... You know, maybe I come from a Christian family and you're just sort of wearing their faith, but you have never personally taken responsibility for your relationship with God. It's just about recycling other people's faith. And that's kind of recycle, but that looks kind of goofy. I realize that all this looks goofy tonight, but that's not the only thing. There are lots of these. This is one of my favorites. You guys know what this is, right? This looks all goofy inside out. This is what we call reverse Jesus. Because on the inside, when you come to church, everything is right side out. But when you walk outside church, it's reverse Jesus time. You just go in with the flow, man. Whoever you're around, you're with their attitude. It could be the most ungodly atmosphere in the world, and you know what? You're just going with the flow. And you may say, well, I'm just trying to fit in and everything. Let me tell you that being light and salt sometimes comes against darkness. Now, I'm not against befriending those and everything. You guys know what I'm talking about. There's some balance here. But some people are just reversing Jesus, a complete lifestyle that is just, it's anti-Christ. There's nothing godly about it. It's reverse Jesus. Reverse Jesus. There are other things. There are other things. We've got that. This one. Oh yeah. Here we go. This is, I like, this is the one I like. I call this casual Jesus. Casual Jesus. This is, I am committed to non-commitment. Now, I don't want to step on any toes tonight, okay, but just look out. You know, I'll come to church if it's convenient for me. You know, if I make it once a month, I feel all right. If I tithe once a month, I feel all right. Now, I hope it's okay for me to talk a little about behavior. No one get offended, okay? But, you know, I think this is part of our new life. A lot of times we don't address this kind of behavior, you know. But what if, let me ask you this, what if you brushed your teeth once a month? What if you brushed your teeth once a month? What if you worked out once a month? All right, what if you went to the bathroom once a month? That'll do it. Okay, there's another one. It's the last one. No more pain after this. I call this fire insurance, Jesus. Because when everything's going good in your life, God is nowhere in the picture. But when the fire hits, you got him wrapped around your waist. You're ready to go because you've got your fire insurance. And I heard a good friend of mine say one time, Sunday school teacher here, he said, you know, I find it difficult to serve God in the good times. Boy, we all struggle with self-sufficiency, don't we? We find ourselves that everything's going great in our lives. And a lot of you, maybe you've got something big going, you know, you've got everything great going in your life, and maybe some of you have some difficult circumstances or whatever, but if you've got everything going great in your life, can I just simply say to pause and thank God for that? Because the moment we start thanking and thinking that it's ourself that got us there, could be a good indicator that we've got fire insurance, Jesus. We're not really truly walking in the old man. And you know what happens? The reason why I call this vintage makeover tonight is because a lot of Christians I see are going for that vintage look. They want to mix the old with the new. That's what they want. They don't want to completely throw off the old man. They want a vintage look. Because there are some things they want to hold on to. But the word says to put off your old self. And to put on a new self. This transformation cannot be, how in the world do you put it any clearer than you being born again? This is not a redecoration of your outward man. This is a recreation. This is a rebirth, if you would. Because once you were dead to sin, and now you are being made alive in Christ. Now look at it. Let's see what Paul says in his own words. In verse 24, it simply says this. We'll pick it up in 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self. And how does that new self start? Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice, this is creation at work. And it's the work of the Spirit. Now, many of us try to cover up what's going on the inside by redecorating the outside. But it's like my little girl. A few years ago, we were still into this whole peekaboo thing, and we call that object permanence because they do not realize that when they can't see you, that someone could actually still be there. But and that develops in them later on, of course. But and you've played peekaboo, of course. And one day she was trying to take the peekaboo game to another level. So I walked into the living room, and she has she's on her knees, and she has her face in the carpet, right in the middle of the living room, and she starts saying, "Daddy, you don't know where I am." I'm staring at her, going, "I don't, you know, and where are you?" And it was a fun game, of course, but of course she's just, it's kind of silly. And I think to myself, how many times are we covering up our faces as spiritual children and saying, "God, I don't think you really know what's going on." And he's up there just shaking his head. He sees and knows everything. Lord, help us, forgive us of the I don't know. Is it the lack of gratefulness of this new transformation? Lord, help every one of us. Next week, Pastor Nick's going to pick up right where we left off, and we're going to talk about the major ways that we ought to be expressing this new life. But I want to leave you with this last thought, that we don't redecorate the outside, but we are recreated on the inside. Look, don't cover up the outside to protect really what's going on the inside. Jesus wants to make us all new. And as silly as I look doing those little things, sometimes I feel like that's how we look to the Lord when we're trying to cover up. But about the new life, it's a responsibility, it's a stewardship that we have. It's that free gift. And Lord, help us keep in step with your Spirit, because it's a work of the Spirit. It's not a work of our flesh. It is something that God does on the inside, and it works itself out. It's that inward transformation working in us from the inside out. So I want to ask you tonight, first of all, who are you wearing? Maybe there's some people here tonight, and you're saying, well, I have never asked for that new life, but I want to do that tonight, and that's the first step. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, I have taken that step, but I know I'm going for that vintage look. I'm trying to mix the old with the new. I think the words here of Paul tonight is a great reminder. It's like that wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that anyone who is in Christ, behold, he's a new creation. The old is what? Gone. And the new has come. Let's close in prayer tonight. Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful night. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you have never taken that first step of committing your life to Christ and saying, Lord, do away with the old man. Forgive me of my sins and make me new. I just want to simply tell you that you're in a good place tonight to do that. You are in the right place to say, Lord, here is my life. Make me new. And if you want to pray that prayer tonight and become a new person in Christ, just simply want you to lift up your hands, and if you wouldn't mind making eye contact with me, that'd be great. Just wait a few minutes longer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, tonight we thank you that your grace working in us, Father, it is indeed a work. And, Father, we commit a steadfast renewal, Lord, to this new transformation that's happened in each and every one of our lives. You've turned that which was dead. You've made it alive in Christ. May we be responsible. May we be grateful. And may we live according to the calling that you have given each and every one of us as Christ followers, to walk and to grow in that new man. Do we still struggle? Absolutely, Lord. But we struggle different as a free person. We struggle different, Lord, as one who's been set free by the power of the cross. Lord, work in us, move in us, and may this new life tonight be refreshed in each and every one of our minds. May we not hide from you that which is clear and, of course, in plain sight to you. We want to keep in step and live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, as Paul said. Thank you for it, Jesus, in your strong name. Amen.